been so good to me. I was in my car, and I just, man, I just lost it in the car. I just, because he was so good. Because it, I knew it was true. And things he had brought me through that I was, had been intolerable in my life. And just the mercy and grace of God. But when I first heard that song, I just, it was like it was so real to me. And it still is. It still is. So I just love the ministry of music. Even in your car, even in your home, when you're doing chores, just keep the reality of Jesus alive in your life. Because there's so much push against that. There's so much push against it. Amen. Well, welcome to Spirit of Truth Ministries. Boy, everybody's gone for the holidays. That's awesome. Everybody comes to my house for the holidays. So wherever they were has got absent seats today, I'll tell you that. Because they're all at our house. They come and go at our house all the time. I'm going to do just a brief review of the betrayal of Jesus, and then I'm going to go into part two. I did end up having a part two, Chris. After all, yeah, he's giving me a thumbs up about it. Oh my gosh, and I didn't put a bookmark or anything in my scripture, in my Bible today. Anyway, I was going to just do a brief review how God tells us things ahead of time if we'll listen. He'll talk to you ahead of time if you'll listen. And that Jesus had been talking to his disciples for years, right? And for whatever reason, they still hadn't caught on that what he was about, everything he was saying, that it was true, this was something that was going to happen. They had in their mind something different all along. You know, we can be like that. You can be in church and you can hear a Bible verse or you can hear a prophetic word go forth. And in your head, you have something very different than what God has in mind through that same word. And so I see that is nothing new. And that Jesus had even given a warning to Judas. We looked at that last week. I'm just kind of going over a few things to get us caught up. He also tried to prepare them that there was fixing to be a big shift. From the way they'd been doing life with him, it was all fixing to change radically. But they didn't really catch on. He had been saying many things all through this chapter of Luke 22, talking about these things that were going to change. And he had been trying to prepare them for it for quite a number of years, if you recall. But it's almost like he says there's going to be an end of how everything has been going. And there's going to be a new beginning. How many of you are ready for a new beginning? An end to some things and a beginning to some things that God's been speaking to you about. And maybe you just didn't get it. Or maybe you thought it was going to happen in a different time frame or a different way. God has a way that he does things. And it's hard to figure out. You know this coming, but you don't know how that's going to happen. And for the life of you, sometimes you can't even really imagine how that could happen. But you believe him because he said it. And that's real important for us to do because a lot of these disciples, they didn't believe him. They just flat out didn't believe that what he said was really what was going to happen over and over. But God is faithful. He helps us in our weaknesses, and we looked at that. He helps us in our weaknesses. He knew how horrible human suffering was. He knew what the crucifixion was. He knew that he was going to that it was going to be agony. He knew that he was going to become sin, and he really didn't want that. I think that's the part that was, I guess probably the worst thing for Jesus is he was going to become everything God hated. He was going to become the object of what God hated. The wrath of God was poured out in Jesus Christ. And I think that's why he was such a bloody mass of humanity there on the cross. And so he also was stumped a little bit about Judas. We talked about how Satan had entered Judas. But Judas had initiated that. Judas initiated the crucifixion of Jesus, the death of Jesus, the putting away of, the doing something else with of Jesus. And I find that disturbing. We just lost internet. I was trying to reconnect. But Judas initiated the going to the scribes and the Pharisees. And I think that was like, what was he thinking? I don't know what he was thinking, but he wanted money. He wanted he didn't like what life had been, and he figured he could get some money out of the Pharisees. So he cut a deal with the Pharisees to do something about Jesus. So he told them all this, and he told them the religious leaders that they were cooperating with the devil. He called them a bunch of hypocrites, and Jesus told them, you are cooperating with the devil. And so we see him preparing them. This is what we looked at last time. The word betray, if you look up the word betray, because I look at this word, he was betrayed. It says Judas betrayed him. And I looked at that, dictionary.com says, is to deliver or expose to an enemy by treachery or disloyalty. What Judas did initiating going to the scribes and Pharisees, the religious leaders. He went to them. He wasn't just like pulled into it somehow. He initiated it. And then at one point it says, and Satan entered him. Betray, vocabulary.com says, deceive, lead astray, abandon, forsake, denounce. Britannica Dictionary says, to hurt someone who trusts you. Merriam-Webster, disclose, divulge, reveal, tell. Mm-hmm. The problem is, Judas wasn't the only one that betrayed Jesus. It seems like it was the most pronounced because of what ensued after that, but he wasn't the only one. Look in Luke 22. Look in verse 54 this morning as we continue this. Having arrested him, speaking of Jesus, they led him and brought him into the high priest's house. But Peter followed at a distance. Now when they had kindled a fire in the midst of the courtyard and sat down together, Peter sat among them. And a certain servant girl, seeing him as he sat by the fire, looked intently at him and said, this man also was with him. But he denied him, saying, woman, I don't know him. And after a little while, another saw him and said, you also are of them. But Peter said, man, I am not. Then after about an hour had passed, another confidently affirmed, saying, surely this fellow was also with him, for he's a Galilean. But Peter said, man, I do not know what you are saying. And immediately, while he was still speaking, the rooster crowed, and the Lord turned and looked at Peter. I have thought about that and sat and meditated on that. What that moment must have been. And all of a sudden, Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said to him, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. He was overcome with grief at what he had just done. Mighty man of God. Have you ever been there? You know, we don't know ourselves like Jesus knows us. We don't know our frailties and faults. We think we're somebody we're not sometimes. And Jesus didn't say a word. He just all of a sudden, so he was seeing Jesus. He was within eyeshot of Jesus. Probably earshot too. He was watching all this go down before his very eyes. And all of a sudden he denies him. He's hearing these conversations. Jesus heard the people say what they said to Peter. He's hearing this. And he's hearing Peter deny him. Knowing what he's fixing to walk into. Somebody he had labored with for years. Years. Jesus just turns and looks at him. I don't think he scowled. I think he just looked at him. And it just undid Peter. It would me too. I think that's happened to us several times. We just didn't see him. We just didn't see him looking. So Peter went out and wept bitterly. I'm sure he did. Don't you know he did? Verse 60, well, I read that part. All right. The Lord turned. You know, the thing of it was is Peter lied, and then he lied again. Because once you lie, you're going to have to lie again. If you ever lie, you'll have to tell another lie. So he lied, then he had to lie again. Because no matter where he goes, the courtyard area. It's not that big area where the people were gathered because they were all cold. It was around the fire. And so he's trying to get away, but he can't. And his lie is pursuing him. A lie will pursue you until you come clean. Wherever the devil has hearts, there are always lies. When the devil entered Judas, he had Judas's heart and he had lies. And when we get into fear, all of a sudden the grip of God, it's like our awareness of God dissipates because now we're afraid. We're focused on what we're afraid of. That becomes the focus. And when that happens, you're not thinking of God. You're not thinking about the promises of God anymore. You're not thinking about what the Bible told you when you read it. That's more like, where is your mind? You know, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Which means there are things that we have to meditate over and over and over in our heart. And that you have to make up your mind before the crisis comes. You need to make up your mind who you are before a crisis hits. Because if the crisis hits and you haven't established to yourself who you really are and come clean and been honest with God, then you'll become somebody you never wanted to be. That's what happened to Peter. He actually was somebody he never dreamed he would be and couldn't stand being. And it was crushing him. In Luke 23, look at verse 1. Then the whole multitude of them arose and led him to Pilate, speaking of Jesus. And they began to accuse him, saying, "We found this fellow perverting the nation and forbidding to pay taxes to Caesar, saying that he himself is the king." I want you to understand that was a bold-faced lie. The enemy will lie about you. There will be a temptation for you to correct it. Leave it alone. He's baiting you. The enemy will bait you because he saw what disturbed your peace. If he sees what disturbs your peace, he will come after another piece of you. He will come after it. Yep. Now look in Matthew 22. In Matthew 22, look in verse 15. Then the Pharisees went and plotted how they might entangle him in his talk. See what I'm saying? And they sent to him their disciples with the Herodians, saying, "Teacher, we know that you are true and teach the way of God in truth, nor do you care about anyone, for you do not regard the person of men. Tell us, therefore, what do you think? Is it lawful to pay taxes to Caesar or not?" But Jesus perceived their wickedness and said, "Why do you test me, you hypocrites? Show me the tax money." So they brought him a denarius. And he said to them, "Whose image and inscription is this?" And they said to him, "Caesar's." And he said to them, "Render therefore to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's." When they had heard these words, they marveled and left him and went their way. That was the truth. The Pharisees had said, he's forbidding people to pay taxes. And that was just a bold-faced lie. That is not what happened at all. You know, you'll have to wrestle with stuff like this. When people are saying things, and you know it's not true. This is why it's so important. Don't pass along things you hear about other people to other people. Because what came to you might not have been the truth to begin with. You can ruin somebody's reputation easily. And especially like on social media. So this is what they do all the time. And they'll print something, and it's like, it doesn't have to be true. It just has to be outrageous enough, catch people's attention, and then they believe it. They believe it, and they'll sell somebody else and tell somebody else and tell somebody else. And this is how falseness pervades. But it wouldn't if we wouldn't participate. Now go back to Luke 23. Look in verse 13. Then Pilate, when he had called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people, said to them, "You have brought this man to me as one who misleads the people. And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accuse him. No, neither did Herod, for I sent you back to him, and indeed nothing deserving of death has been done by him. I will therefore chastise him and release him." Well, you shouldn't have punished him at all if he was innocent. That's the other thing, the perversion of the law to try to appease certain people. That's evil. "For it was necessary for him to release one to them at the feast." Okay? "And they all cried out at once, saying, 'Away with this man and release to us Barabbas,' who had been thrown into prison for a certain rebellion made in the city and for murder. Pilate, therefore, wishing to release Jesus again, called out to them, but they shouted, saying, 'Crucify him, crucify him.'" They wanted him dead. And they wanted him to hurt a lot. Not chop off his head, but crucify him. "Then he said to the third thought, 'Well, what evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go.' But they were insistent, demanding with loud voices that he be crucified. And the voices of these men and of the chief priests prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they requested. And he released to them the one they requested, who for rebellion and murder had been thrown into prison. But he delivered Jesus to their will." I want you to understand, this is a picture of exactly what Jesus did for us. Barabbas, that was us. We were the guilty. We were the guilty. We were the ones full of sin. And it's a picture, really, of what salvation is. The guilty went free, and the innocent paid the price in the place of the guilty one. This is what Jesus did for us. This is huge. This is that whole thing, that was just a picture of exactly what was fixing to happen. That the guilty were going to be free. Boy, we went free because of Jesus. I'm never going to pay for those sins. I'm not going to ever pay for them. Jesus paid them for me. Now, when you sin, your life can be rough. It's not God punishing you. That's just what sin does. Your sin is what punishes you. Your sin and rebellion is what caused you problems. Or the gossip at the office or whatever you were doing. That's what's called you trouble. It wasn't God. Because your sin was paid for on the cross. And when Jesus said it's finished, he meant it. It is done. I have taken care of your sin. Past, present, and future. If your future sins aren't paid for, you're not going to go to heaven because Jesus paid for them once and for all, and he's not going to get back on the cross. So how are you going to pay for them? You'll have to accept what Jesus said by faith, that it's done. He said, it's finished. I've accomplished this. I've done everything necessary for you to go free. But Barabbas was the picture of that. It's amazing to me. Now, as they led him away, they laid hold on a certain man, Simon Cyrenian, who was coming from the country. And on him they laid the cross that he might bear it after Jesus. And a great multitude of people followed him, and women who had also mourned and lamented him. But Jesus, turning to them, said, "Daughters of Jerusalem, do not weep for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For indeed the days are coming in which they will say, 'Blessed are the barren wombs that never bore and breasts which never nursed.' Then they will begin to say to the mountains, 'Fall on us,' and to the hills, 'Cover us.' For if they do these things in the green wood, what will be done in the dry?" In other words, when I'm gone. And that's exactly what happened, because the persecution hit the church after Jesus came. And it was just like, "Oh God, we just soon go ahead and be with you." Yeah. There were also two other criminals led with him to be put to death. And when they had come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the criminals, one on the right hand and one on the other on the left. And then Jesus said, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. The people who had killed him, were killing him, had beat him, spit in his face, all the other things that happened. He said, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. They haven't got a clue what they're doing. And they divided his garments and cast lots, and the people stood looking on. But even the rulers with them sneered, saying, he saved others. Now let him save himself, if he's the Christ, the chosen of God. He didn't understand he was dying for them too. They did not understand. While he's dying for them, they're mocking him. The soldiers also mocked him, coming and offering him sour wine, saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. Well, his mission wasn't to save himself. His mission was to save them. And an inscription also was written over him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the king of the Jews. Then one of the criminals who were hanged blasphemed him, saying, if you are Christ, save yourself and us. You know, he's so worried about Jesus' welfare, right? But the other answering rebuked him, saying, do you not even fear God, seeing that you are under the same condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we receive the due reward of our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Then he said to Jesus, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. We'll get to meet him one day. The thief on that cross. Boy, he had a revelation that the religious leaders didn't have. If you're looking to religion for salvation, forget it. Forget it. You got to look to Jesus. He didn't know about religion. He didn't know about all the other, but what he did, but what he knew is this man is innocent. I see it. I know it. And my knower, this man is not deserving of death. And I believe he does have a kingdom. I believe everything he's saying is the truth. But the religious people didn't see the truth. Do you know you can be real religious and go to church and read your Bible every day and not understand the truth? But you don't have to. You don't have to. And Jesus said to him, assuredly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. So now it was about the sixth hour. There was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. Then the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was torn in two. And when Jesus had cried out with a loud voice, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Having said this, he breathed his last. So when the centurion saw what had happened, he glorified God, saying, surely this was a righteous man. He felt conviction. The centurion believed. I mean, it's amazing. People got saved even in his death. Even while he's dying, eyes are being opened to the truth. Yes. The other thing that's interesting is there were some women at the cross. There were always women around Jesus. I always find that amazingly comforting. And the whole crowd who came together that sight, seeing what had been done, beat their breasts and returned. But all his acquaintances and the women who followed him from Galilee stood at his distance watching these things. Now behold, there was a man named Joseph, a council member, a good and just man. He had not consented to the decision. Indeed, he was from Arimathea, a city of the Jews, who himself was also waiting for the kingdom of God. This man went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then he took it down, wrapped it in linen, and laid it in a tomb that was hewn out of the rock where no one had ever lain before. That day was the preparation, and the Sabbath drew near. And the women who had come with him from Galilee followed after, and they observed the tomb and how his body was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and fragrant oils, and they rested on the Sabbath according to the commandment. But now on the very first day of the week, very early in the morning, they said very early, not just early, very early. They were very eager. They and certain other women with them came to the tomb and bringing the spices which they had prepared. But they found the stone rolled away from the tomb, and they went in and did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. And it happened, as they were greatly perplexed about this, that behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. Then as they were afraid, and behold, and bowed their faces to the earth, they said to them, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. He told them this more than once, which is interesting to me. So the angel is having to remind them of what Jesus had told them. I look at this and I marvel at this. They walked and talked with God. They handled him. They saw him. They heard his laugh. These were people who heard him laugh, y'all. The expressions on his face, the things we only imagine, they saw. And they remembered his words. Then they returned from the tomb and told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. And their words seemed to them like idle tales. They didn't believe a word any of these women said. So they concluded they all must be liars or crazy. They did not accept the testimony of these women. But Peter arose. He went to investigate and ran to the tomb. And stooping down, he saw the linen cloths lying by themselves, and he departed, marveling to himself at what had happened. And then it goes on to say that two of them departed, and they were on a journey. They were going to a village called Emmaus. And as they journeyed, Jesus met up with them. They didn't know it was Jesus. And he heard their conversation. They were talking about everything that had been happening, just kind of discussing it. And so he said to them, "What kind of conversation is this that you have with one another as you walk and are sad?" Then one of them, the one whose name was Cleopas, answered and said to him, "Are you the only stranger in Jerusalem, and have you not known the things which have happened here in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And so they told him. They said to him the things concerning Jesus of Nazareth. They began to talk to him about everything he already knew. Basically, he knew who he was. And go down. Verse 22, it says, "Yes, and certain women of our company who arrived at the tomb early astonished us when they did not find his body. They came saying that they had also seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And certain of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but him they did not see. Then he said to them, 'Oh, foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Ought not the Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory?' And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded to them all the scriptures, the things concerning himself." And then as soon as they all realized it, you know, then he just disappeared. He was translated. So they arose that very hour and they went back to Jerusalem. They told everything that had happened and what was going on. The thing about, there's two points to all this I'm trying to make this morning. It's easy to deny. When the pressure gets tough, you want to rearrange your words or something. Well, I mean, I didn't say that. What I meant was, you can't backtrack. If you ever backtrack, you're sunk. The best thing you can do is take a step forward and say, "Yes, that's exactly what I said, and I mean it." Give God something to work with. God is not a God of fear. He doesn't work with fear. He works with faith. So if you're ever in a jam with what you've said about Jesus, go ahead and be bold. Because he's watching you. He is watching you. He is watching to see, are you going to stand up for him or not? There's a lot of people today that won't stand up for Jesus. They don't want to say anything at work because, you know how that is. Yeah, but we also know how Jesus is. For some reason, he expects us to, y'all. He expects us to honor him. We call him Lord. We say we're saved. We took him up on his very generous offer that he gave us, that's not just for here, but for all eternity. We take him up on all that. We love the blessings. We love the blessing part. But there was a price to pay for the blessing part. And all over the world today, there are people, they're paying a really heavy price. We cannot even begin to imagine happening in our culture. See, pressures are going to come. Decide ahead of time what you're going to do. When the pressure comes, and they say, well, you're being a little extra. I mean, you really believe, you know, all that. You believe the resurrection? You believe he really came out of the tomb? Yes, I do. Absolutely. Be emphatic about it. It'll catch them off guard. They're not expecting you to be that bold, by the way. People are really bold with what they're coming at you with. Be very bold in your answer. Why do they have such a boldness to say some of the things? You really believe God created everything, you know, 7 days? You really think that's true? The creation story of the Bible, you believe that? Absolutely. Absolutely. I certainly do. All of it. A day as we call a day, 24 hours. Yes, I do. I believe it. Why? Because he's God. He can do anything. He can do anything. If you can't just do anything, then what kind of God are you talking about? I'm talking about the God who created and is still creating things today. You have creativity in you. God is still creative. We don't know what all he's creating. We're not privy to all that, but I know what he already created because he gave me a Bible with stories in it that tell me what happened. Well, how did we get all this sediment moved all over the earth to places all over the world? Well, it was called a flood. Do you know almost every single culture has a story about a flood in their history? Why? Because it's true. Because the Bible is real. The Bible is true. And there are a lot of people trying to talk people out of the Word of God. And it's easy to do because people want to sin. Because if they could come up with something where it's not really true and convince themselves it's not true, and especially in their group they hang out with, then there's no accountability to God either. What you're believing about that won't take your accountability away. Because he said even nature cries out and speaks to us. There's a God. It's him. He's real. The other thing we have to decide is either we're going to deny him or we're going to be for him. It may be in your family. And a lot of times people say, well, I'm not going to say anything because, you know, blah, blah, blah. I'm talking about when you're around people, they just don't believe. Be more bold, not less. Bold isn't loud. Bold is truth. Some people think, well, you have to be loud if you're bold. No. You just don't move from your position. You just don't move from your position because your feet are anchored on a rock. So you don't want to move from the rock. Jesus is your rock. You don't move from him. Your moment may come in a very important business meeting. Or it might not be super acceptable. So now who's in charge of your life? Is Jesus still in charge of your life? These are hard questions. Because people are in these situations all the time. I know I've been there. Your moment may come from your friends or peers that think you're just a little too, well, I mean, you know, you don't have to really say anything. Sometimes to be quiet means you're going along with, because you're not saying you're against it, so you're for it. Your moment may come from a family member that just constantly wants you to move from your position. And they have their debates, they have their arguments, they have all these things because they're trying their best to get out of the truth. That's what it is. They don't want the truth, but they're bound. See, the truth you know is what makes you free. So when you embrace the truth, you get freer and freer and freer. Jesus demonstrated that. We have to remember the devil wants us silent and intimidated. This is what he wants. He wants us to feel intimidated. The more intimidated you feel, the taller you stand up. You make up your mind and you take one step right up into the conversation, whatever it is. You don't take a step back, you take a step forward. There's some things you can literally do physically because your body is going to obey your mind. So if your mind is backing up, your body will too, and so will your voice. Where's the boldness of the church today? Boldness isn't meanness either. Boldness isn't meanness. Boldness doesn't have to be loud. It's just you're not intimidated. You refuse to be intimidated by someone the devil is using at that moment. The devil used Judas. The devil still uses people to bring intimidation. Don't be intimidated. If they walk out of your life for a season, they'll have to walk. They'll just have to walk. Jesus is aware that at some point he's going to turn around and he's going to look at you. And you're going to see his eyes. And at that moment, it's going to be a hard thing. You have many, many times. There are many times when people, Christians, deny Jesus. They deny him. They deny him by their silence. They deny him by trying to fit in with everybody to make sure we're not in any trouble. We are trouble. We're trouble for the devil. Jesus was trouble for the religious Pharisees. They didn't know what to do with him. What do you do with somebody who's raising the dead? What do you do with somebody who's opening blind eyes? What do you do with somebody who's full of love and compassion for people? What do you do with somebody like that when everybody loves them because they're just so full of love and they see the result? They're fed. He fed thousands of people. Thousands of people. On just a little bit of nothing. It was a miracle. He was a miracle worker. Blind eyes open, deaf ears open, the lame walk. The dead come to life. They didn't know, well, what do we do? We got to get rid of him, though. We got to get rid of him because what he's saying, he's not saying the things we want him to say. So we got to get rid of him. The devil wants to get rid of you, too. You need to know that. And you need to know when people are coming at you, they're just being used. They don't know it. You don't have to be mean to people. They don't know that that's what they're doing. But it's real important that you know it so you don't back off. You stand firm. You're kind. You're loving. Don't mince your words. Don't apologize for Jesus. Never apologize for Jesus and the truth. We see the guilty, Barabbas, go free. And the innocent one, Jesus, taking the place of the guilty. We've got to remember. We have to remember. We cannot act like this did not happen. The betrayal of Jesus. This is what I've been talking about for the last two Sundays. You know, if you think back in your life, there's times when you didn't speak up. You can think of them. And sometimes it isn't all. Sometimes it's your attitude, or I don't know how to explain it. But for each person, you know when you're stepped up to the plate. You know when you didn't. Our generation needs us to step up to the plate. Be real. Be authentic. Be the real deal. Don't say you're against lying and then lie. We're here to represent the Lord Jesus. And that's a heavy package. It really is. It's a heavy package. But he says, my burden's light. He said, if you'll crawl up into me, my burden's light. And I'll help you. And you'll have rest for your soul. You'll sleep better at night. You will. You'll sleep better at night if you know you're being loyal to Jesus. There are a lot of silent Christians, or we just have a lot of people who say they're saved. They're just not saved. I think it's both. There's a lot of people, they don't feel the need to gather together with other believers anymore. They've got it all figured out. But you look at their life and you think, no, I don't think so. I don't think so. Doesn't seem that way to me. We have a job to do. We're the ones here on the planet at this season. We work till he comes. We work, we labor for him. What he did for us, we can't even come close to that. But he's called us to be his disciples, every believer, and to be like him, our character. Does that mean you'll never mess up? No, you're not going to be perfect. That's why he had to come to begin with. But don't beat yourself up for 7 years over it. Repent. Get back on the page. And go at it again. And when he looks at you, he won't just look, it'll be a smile. I believe Jesus had an amazing smile. And I think he had a very hearty laugh. Y'all stand up. God has been good to us. You know it's true. You know the things he's already pulled you through. You know the work of grace he's done in your life, not just in your life, but in your family system. There's been a work of grace beyond anything you could have ever imagined at one time in your life. He's gone above and beyond your expectations on so many things. And you know this is true. And he's still not done. There's still more to come. So let's be faithful. Let's be his agents in the earth to help point people to Jesus by being more and more like him. And it doesn't mean you do everything everybody wants you to do. I have discovered that if I say yes to Jesus, I'll have to say no to 1,000 things. When you say yes to Jesus, you'll have to be able to say no, because the devil will always use people and circumstances to pull you away from what Jesus wants you to do. And I'm getting better and better at it. And I don't make any excuses. I just go, no. And they just kind of look at me. And I don't say anything else. They're not used to that. You don't have to explain. You don't want everything you do. Don't do that. Let your no be no and let your yes be yes. Right? God, thank you so much for your words of life to us and truth. God, that this goes down in our inward parts so that we're living out of this truth, God, that we will not be the people that betray Jesus. We're not betraying him to death, but there's a way that we can betray him where we know. And the conviction comes quickly. It will come really fast. We could have said something we didn't say. We could have pointed people in that right direction and we didn't do it. God, forgive us. We ask forgiveness today and help us to be more bold. No matter who it is we're talking to, it shouldn't matter who it is we're talking to. Jesus was no respecter of persons, and we're not supposed to be either. But if it's the truth, it's the truth. And we need to be people of the truth and to walk in great love, forgiveness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Count it all joy when those speak evil against you for the sake of the gospel. Don't shrink back from the bragging evil tongue. Expose the darkness. The darkness hates the light, so just be light. Even though you may be hated, be bold in your faith. Don't fear the faces of men. Be wise as serpents and gentle as doves. Let the love of God be your greatest weapon. Love people, but hate sin. Sin is the destroyer of lives. Love is the restorer of lives. Walk in the Spirit and be motivated by love. God is love. Jesus was motivated by love and gave his life. Be motivated by love and give your life.
Praise God. Thank you, Stephen. And again, that's called a sign and wonder. He doesn't know what I'm going to preach. And he just sits in a chair. He listens and he writes down what he hears. And every Sunday, it'll be whatever somebody's preached, even if it's not me. It's not always me. Most of the time it is, but it's not always. And it'll be. These are called signs. These are signs. We're supposed to be having stuff like this in the church. And healings and miracles and signs and wonders. This is not. But God has been doing this for years. Gosh, I don't know how many years at this point. 8 years? Yeah. About 8 years now. That is this sort of just happening to him. And he just simply obeyed. And the accuracy is pretty phenomenal. You just get to get better and better at it as he just learns to listen more and more and more. And I thank you, God, that for how you have graced this body with that gift. And there are many other giftings in this body, too, which is really cool. Well, I love y'all. Y'all have a great day. And I love you guys out there in Facebook world. If you don't know this Jesus I've been talking about today, you really need to, because he loves you. He loves you. He'll help you with your life. He'll stand you up in the middle of any situation, and you won't be ashamed.